I wore my good boots today so you wouldn't see me shaking in them. It's an honor to be up here. When the pastor asked me last week, Rose was like, "Pastor needs to talk to you. What'd you do now?" And I'm like, "I don't know, but I'll take my medicine." Anyway, so he said, "Hey, the guy I had lined up couldn't do it. Could you fill in and bring a Father's Day message?" I'm like, "Yeah, no problem. I can do it." And then he walked away, and I'm like, "Oh, man, what did I just do?" And then I get out to the truck, and I get in, and Rose is like, "So what happened?" "Father asked me to bring the Father's Day message." And then she turns away, and I could see her in the window like, "Father, forgive us. Have we sinned?" I'm in trouble now. She's going to take away my socks and underwear I got for Father's Day. Mother's Day, they get nice stuff. Anyway, so Father's Day is like a two-edged sword. You know, some of us had good memories, some of us not good memories. Some of us had great fathers, some of not so fathers. Some of us didn't have any fathers. So it's a mixed bag. Fathers are still here with us. Fathers have gone on and are not here with us. But, you know, like the song we just sang, we have the greatest Father ever, the Abba Father, Father God, and His Son. And you have those two guys. I mean, what else can you ask for? But here on earth, we have earthly fathers. And, you know, it's a tough road to hoe. I was thinking this week, and so I kind of dug up some Father's Day quotes that I kind of thought were kind of good. One father is more than 100 schoolmasters. And then he didn't tell me how to live. He lived it. Let me watch him do it. You know, we have to be an example. A father is always making his baby into a little woman, and when she is a woman, he turns her back again. Blessed indeed is the man who hears many gentle voices that call him father. It is not flesh and blood, but the heart which wakes fathers and sons. And, one of my favorites, a father carries pictures where his money used to be. Dad, you're someone I'll look up to no matter how tall I've grown. And when she is old, she still misses her daddy sometimes and all the time. There's something like a line of gold thread running through a man's words when he talks to his daughter. And gradually over the years, it gets to be long enough for you to pick it up in your hands and weave it into a cloth that feels like love itself. The greatest gift I ever had came from God. I call him Dad. Dad, you're a guiding hand on my shoulder. I will remain with you forever. And then in the 1960s, before you were born, Zach, and you other guys here that might have babies, there was some wise advice on how to do a diaper by a guy named Jim Purcell. And it says, spread the diaper into the position of a diamond like you were at bat. Then fold the second base down to home and set the baby on the pitcher's mound. Put first base and third base together. Bring up home plate and pin the three together. Of course, in the case of rain, you got to call the game and start all over again. So remember that if you don't have any babies. Anyway, so I was kind of, my dad's not with me anymore. So during Father's Day, I kind of remember things that have gone on. Well, I was struggling with what to say to the church. And then my lovely wife drags out this folder and says, "Hey, here's the eulogy that you wrote for your dad at his funeral. I think it's pretty cool." So I'm like, "Oh, okay." So anyway, there's a message in what he was a great guy. So I hope I can get through it. This was a long time ago, almost 10 years. I was overseas. My mom called me and said, "You got to get home right now. You know, Dad's not going to make it." So that kind of led into things. But I wouldn't say we had a story childhood, but, you know, we were comfortable and it was good times. But anyway, I wrote this for my dad December 8th, 2007. Flooding memories. A cool, crisp West Texas wind with the smell of gun oil and fresh-cut maize. Dogs whining and the last gulp of hot coffee before I heard, "Let the dogs out, boy, and be ready. They may go on point as soon as they hit the brush." A beautiful East Texas sunrise just peeking over the tall pines, sending a reflection across cool lake waters as smooth as glass, paled only by the occasion of wispy patch of fog. Wine of an old mercury outboards, smell of fishing bait and linseed oil, the ginger rise and fall and the splashing bow wake as we cut a path for the old honey hole. "Get that bait tied on, boy. I see them hitting the top, waiting on us already." A sultry summer morning, rays of golden sun streaking across the fairway as it glistens from the morning dew like a million tiny diamonds. A loud crack and a tiny white ball streaks on its maiden voyage from the number one tee. "Boy, roll your hand over. Don't let me see that white knuckle grip. Keep your head down. Swing away. Follow through. Watch the ball all the way down." Sea bags in hand, serving the country Dad taught me to respect. Shoving off for a war and the unknown, about to experience things I had only heard and read about. A big bear hug from Dad and his last words, "I love you and am proud of you. Boy, this family don't need any heroes. Keep your head down and your powder dry." Fortunately for me, Dad left us all a legacy of a man's walk with the Lord. As long as I can remember, my parents had both me and my sister attending church, singing in the choir, doing the Lord's work 9 months before we were born. His faithfulness to his bride of over 53 years is a testimony to our family and all who come behind us, as these days it is becoming a rare feat reached by few. Dad was a family man, striving to provide and spend time, as much time with his family as humanly possible, never missing games or activities of my sister and I, rarely even missing a practice. When young men were left to their own devices, my dad was spending his weekends with me, either hunting or fishing. He taught me to appreciate the outdoors and how to enjoy God's bounty in nature. Give him a fishing pole, a shotgun, or a golf club, and he was in his element, to be sure. The highest tribute bestowed to any son was evident these past few days as a throng of friends and loved ones repeatedly stated, "You must be the son. You reminded me so much of Ken. You look like your dad. You act like your dad. He was a great friend and a faithful Christian." Is that not what we strive for? Is that not our calling? And so much is to be as much like our Heavenly Father that the world sees Jesus in us. Dad was my hero. Thinking of him, I ponder the word hero and what it means. Honor. From the very beginning, he taught my sister and I to honor our father and mother. And above all things, honor the Lord in all things, whatever you do or say, who all glory and honor are due. Excellence, excel in everything you do. Always give your best, 110% of all the time, every time. Do it right the first time or don't do it at all. Give it your best. The Lord will sort out the rest. Responsibility. Always be responsible for your actions. For every action, there is a reaction, and the consequences will either be good or bad. Stand up, admit your mistakes, and carry on. If everyone would accept responsibility for their actions, the world would be a better place. Obedience. Above all things, remain obedient to the Lord and His calling. Obey all those in authority over you. You cannot lead others until you have been led yourself. Over the past few years, I've had the privilege to serve in the company of heroes. Some powerful, some humble, some princes, some kings, some warriors, some generals. But all of these are hero, and has always will be, my dad. So, I made that little acronym, honor, excellence, responsibility, obedience, hero. So for honor, I like to look at, in Colossians chapter 3, 23:20, for honor. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. You know, from the very beginning, it taught us to honor our parents. And you have to honor the Lord and be obedient. I know it's hard for the little kids in here. We teach Sunday school to be obedient, but your parents are in authority over you. And you have to obey your parents because they were ordained to be set before you by God. You were born to them. And they're just human too. They make mistakes, you know, but they're doing the best they can. But you have to be obedient and honor them because God will honor you. Excellence. 3:23-24. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance if you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. My dad was like, everything you do, give it your all. These days, people need to give it their all. You need to go full bore, 110%. God demands nothing less. He gave everything. He gave His Son. So who are we to not give every effort we have and everything that we do? Whether you like it or not, where you are in your life is where you are right now. Maybe you don't like that job. Maybe you don't like those circumstances. Maybe you don't like this. Maybe you don't like that. But that's where God has put you at this moment. Maybe things will change later on. But right now, in all its glory or all its unglory, that's where you are. And you need to give it your best. Whether you're a kid in school, studying, making good grades, playing on a team, working in your... I'll tell you for a fact, if you're working in a job you don't like, I don't really like my job, but don't tell my boss that. That's where you are. You need to go 110% on that job, whether you like it or not, because you are an example or a witness to everyone else around you. And you may change somebody else's life on that job. You never know. They may never even talk to you. They may come back years later and say, hey, you remember, you know, I was watching you. And later on, times got tough. I got to thinking about it. It changed my life. You never know. Kids in school, man, you got to study, man. I'm telling you, when you get out in the workplace, you better have studied in school. Because I'm a manager and I have a lot of employees working for me. And when people bring me resumes or they want to get a job, if they can't read good and they can't write good, if I look at what they wrote and I'm like, man, this sucker, he can't even spell. I'm like, file 13 in the trash. I'm not going to look at giving that guy a job. Not in the job I have that I hired. They have to read and write and communicate to the customer, talk effectively, spell, do basic math. So kids in school, you need to get with it and learn to study. Because when you get out and start working, it's not going to be like school. You're going to be working for a boss and he's going to want you to perform. You don't perform, you're out. And you want to have a job, you got to provide for your family. If you have one, you've got to do all you can do. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's the real world, man. Sometimes people don't, TV and everything on radio, that's not real world. Real world is rubber hitting the road. Responsibility, Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him, God the Father, through Him. We're back again to being responsible for your actions. Everyone today is like, I didn't do it. I'm not responsible. He did it. You know, no one takes responsibility for everything. My dad taught me, in the way I was raised, you stand up. More times than one, I've had to go to the boss and say, I jacked it up. My responsibility. Not these guys. All my. I did it. I got to get fired. So be it. And be ready to take your medicine. And be responsible. And sometimes it's going to be pretty tough. You may not want to do it. But if you take responsibility, I'm telling you, it always works out in the end. Every time. Every time it works out. Obedience. Colossians 3:22-24. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in sincerity of the heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. We're back again and be in obedience to the Lord. But we're doing it in honor of the Lord. So we do everything in His honor. Everything gives glory to Him. So, basic obedience. I mean, there's nothing more than you can say. You need to do what's right, whether it's painful or not. you know, my dad left a legacy. And they were just West Texas oil field people. His dad died while he was still in school. And then my grandmother was a widow of three. So that was tough times, you know, back in the 50s, working in the oil field. And that was hard work. And that, but every Sunday, when I was a kid, the churchyard was full of oil field service trucks. All those hard oil field workers, they were in church every Sunday doing the best they could. Now, everyone wants to leave financial gain to their kids. Leave an inheritance. You know, I don't have an inheritance, but if I did, I'd spend it before my before I got old enough. But anyway, we need to leave a spiritual legacy that's invested over the course of your life. Which, over the course of my dad's life, when he went on to glory, he didn't leave me a bunch of money. But he left me the spiritual legacy that he had built of what he had poured into his life with his kids. He didn't have much of anything to leave, but that wasn't true. What he left was what he poured into his kids to ensure that we know God, we love God, and we live wisely, and through this we knew that we were loved and that we knew know God's will. And then he lived it as an example. His legacy was a spiritual inheritance. And, you know, I know it's tough out there. It's hard to be a dad. A guy one time told me, don't sacrifice your family on the altar of business success. And I'm a workaholic. I work as hard as the next guy. But you got to spend time with your kids. However you can do it. I mean, if you got to leave work and drive 50 miles to be to a band concert or a practice or whatever, and then you have to pour spirituality into the kids. I mean, read to the kids. I read to my kids even when they got older. They loved to be read to. Bible stories, little stories. We had Bible videos. I mean, when they were old enough to put a, y'all don't know what a VHS is, but when they put it in and watch videos. And, you know, we took them to church, whether they wanted to be there or not. And my parents were a witness. My grandparents were a witness. You know, we had a long line of people that, you know, worshiped God. And it was bountiful. My wife, on the other hand, her family wasn't like that. You know, that so when she became a Christian, her background is like they didn't go to church. They didn't do anything. So when she got in and saw how my family was, it was a big difference. So, I mean, there's nothing else that I can say but that you just have to pull yourself up by the bootstraps and do the best you can. You're only a man and you're only human. But in God's power and with the Lord and with Jesus Christ as your Savior and helping you, you can do it. You can't look at what the world says about men and how to be, you know, Mr. Macho and all this kind of... I mean, we fished and hunted all the time, but we never went on Sunday. My dad was like, we're going to the church house. We don't fish or hunt on Sundays. And I'll tell you for a fact, the few times I've been, the fish don't bite on Sundays, and the deer are not out, and the birds don't fly. I know that for a fact, because we'd be driving to church, and I'd be like, man, I still wish we were still fishing today. The cows are laying down, son. They're not biting. We're going to church. Because when the cows are laying down, the fish don't bite. It's an old wives' tale, and it's true. Anyway, so we have to pour the character into our kids from our dads. Because the kids are watching. Kids are pretty smart. They know when people are like pulling the wool over their eyes. So they see and watch everything that we do. So we have to be an example, you know. And they're watching it and they're going to learn for it. And you can't underestimate the influence of a good father, whether he's perfect or not, because you're sowing seeds in those kids. And you're influencing them, and you are their schoolmaster. and they're going to influence their neighbors, their school. They may even be the president one day. You don't know. You're only here with them at this time to be their hero, to be their star, to influence them or their friends. You may influence a teenager, a friend of theirs that's struggling. Maybe their dad's not around. You may need to fill in and pour into that friend of your teenager what they need. You need to be the coach. Go to the camps. Work hard. Keep your nose clean. Keep your head down. Keep your powder dry. And do the best you can. Your kids don't need lectures. They just need words of love. And they don't get direction. They'll be confused. And if they get confused, they're going to go somewhere else. One big need for today is the dads to be strong in their daughter's life. Because if the daughters don't have a strong father figure or a dad in their life, they're going to get confused and they're going to go find one. They're going to go find someone to be their daddy and their father. And I will guarantee you, if you're the daddy, you're not going to like who they pick. 9 times out of 10, I will guarantee you. And we've learned some hard life lessons with our kids. And I'll tell you for a fact, you will not like who they pick. So you need to show them how it is to treat their mom and to treat a woman as a lady. They're watching you. You need to be affectionate to your wife. Provide for your wife. Love your wife. Be there with her, rain or shine, because your kids are watching it. And your daughters are watching how you treat that woman. And then they're going to want to be treated just like you treat their mama. So it can be good or it can be bad. And you need to pour into that daughter everything, because they're going to be out someday and you want them to be honored and cherished and protected and find the right guy. And you want that guy to be like you. Not some, you know, dirt bag off the street or whatever. So, daughters need dads, especially this day and time, because they're looking for love in all the wrong places. So, and you got to stand firm and provide direction. Dads, you can't compromise. Back in the day, they called it tough love. You have to stand your ground with your kids. And maybe your kids are not going to like it, but one day they're going to thank you for it. So you need to not compromise any of your values, anything that you stand for, whatever it is your kids want. Back to the daughters again. If they want to go out with some old boy and you don't like what that boy stands for or where he's been, or you get something in your gut tells you it's not right, you need to just tell little Missy, you know, hey, you're not going out with that boy, you know. And the girls are not going to like it, but someone's got to watch over you, because you're going to make stupid decisions. And you need someone over you looking. So, and, you know, there's a lot of things that only a daddy can say to his kid. And those kids will remember those things. My daddy had a few quotes, and he always said, stand firm, stay the course, and never give up. You have to never give up. No matter what life throws at you, you cannot give up. You must fight to the very end. God demands nothing less. Jesus hung on the cross and suffered the most imaginable torture anyone could imagine. And he never gave up. He stayed the course. Even though his daddy told him, you know, where he was going. Profanity is a sign of a limited vocabulary. That was one of my dad's favorite sayings. He never cussed. And we're not cussers in my family. And there's a lot of truth to that. Just tell your kids, profanity is a sign of a limited vocabulary and ignorance. There is no use to use profanity. There is a better word to say, you know, whatever, you know, you can think of 100. He always taught us respect to wildlife, use all, love all. Nature is God's bounty, and treat it with respect. And then he said, it was always coldest before dawn and will be the darkest. You know, life's pretty tough. And like I said, you never give up. But remember that it's always the darkest before dawn. And then the sun rises. And it's always the coldest. But dawn is coming. Jesus is always there. He will be with you, rain or shine. Your daddies may fail you, but Jesus will never fail you. And He will always be there. He may not be there at the time that you want Him to be there, but He will be there. And it may be you are at your wits' end and all hope is lost. And the hordes are at the door and you're gone. It's over. But that's at your darkest hour, He will be there. I will tell you that for a fact. And anyone in here that's lived for a while will tell you that that's the way it is. Jesus will never let you down. We talked today about Father's Day. And Father God is the greatest Father of all. Because He sent His Son to suffer imaginably, and He knew it. So as a father, as I'm standing here, as the other fathers are standing here, you need to think about, if you were in God's place, how could you do that? How could you send your son or your daughter to suffer that way, knowing that that's what had to be done? He is the greatest father ever. And His Son is the greatest Son ever. What can you say? And if you have Jesus in your life, if He's your Lord and Savior, you can overcome all things and endure all things. I don't know how people in the world that don't have Him can do it. I don't know how they're doing it. That's why the world's a mess. Because everyone has a void in their heart for God. I've traveled a lot of places over the world and seen, you know, different cultures that don't know God. Well, they're worshiping something. They're worshiping the moon, they're worshiping the stars, the frogs, the weeds, the Mother Earth, whatever. Why are they worshiping all this stuff? Because there's this hole in here. God created us and it needs to be filled. And they know something greater than themselves created this, but they don't know Jesus, so they're just like, oh, well, we'll worship this rock or this stone or Buddha or whatever. But, you know, Jesus and God fills that void. Amen. And you're going to have this hole till it gets filled. And you're going to fill it with everything else but what it needs to be filled with. And I heard a guy this week say, when the Jesus train comes, make sure you're on it. And so, everyone's appointed a time. We don't know when that time's going to be. But when your time comes, the Jesus train's living and you want to make sure you're on it. Because you don't want to get left. Because hell is real. I've seen hell on earth a lot of places. And I guarantee you, from what I've seen on earth, the real hell, I don't want anything to do with real hell. Because it's going to be a million times worse than what you can imagine. And there is hell, and there is heaven. So if you're here today, you have no idea what I'm talking about, or you're wondering about all this, Brother Hal and Fran will be down here, Rose and I, you can come, talk to us, figure out how to fill this void in your heart. Or if you're a daddy, maybe you want to come down to the altar or pray with one of us that, you know, you want to be better or do better or pray for your daddy or honor your daddy that's passed or whatever. There's not really more that I can say. I tell people sometimes, they're like, you know, why do I need Jesus? You know, Christians are all a bunch of hypocrites, you know, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And so I tell them, okay, fine. You don't want to believe in Jesus or any of this Christianity stuff, live your life, go ahead. you believe you're just going to die and go to dust and, you know, that's it, you know, okay, that's fine. But think about what I believe in, you know. I believe in Jesus and worship God and try to live my life right because I'm going to live eternally with Him someday in heaven. And everyone else goes to hell. So you don't want to believe in anything and you're just like, oh, we're just going to do what we're going to do and when we die, that's it. So if you're right, no sweat. I believe what I believe. You believe what we believe. You die. End of story. But if I'm right, and I know I'm right, when I die, I'm going to live eternally with Jesus Christ, my Father. And I'm going to see my daddy. I'm going to see my granddaddy and all my other granddaddies. And then you're going to die. And bad, tough row for you, Bubba, because you're going to hell. So I'm like, you need to think about, you know, what you believe in and what you poo-poo what I believe in. Because what I believe in is truth. And someday there's going to be a reckoning. And so when the Jesus train lives, when the Jesus train leaves, you want to make sure you're on it. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day and just that You would touch people's lives and just help us all be the best daddies we can ever be. And just worship You as our daddy. We love You, Lord. Thank You. Amen.